This podcast is brought to you by VMware, the leader in virtualization.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for this VMware VDI podcast. This is the third in a series of podcasts focused on the design and implementation of scalable virtual desktop deployments. I'm Tyler T-Rex Rohr with the Enterprise Desktop team at VMware, and today I'm thrilled to have with me John Dodge, Worldwide Release Architect here at VMware.
Hey, Tyler, glad to be here, and I'm happy to be back.
Hey, thanks for joining us, John. And thanks to everyone out there as well. So let's dive right into implementing VMware VDI. So, John, you've developed this kind of consistent layered approach to assessing and planning VDI, or virtual desktop infrastructure. So let's go through those layers and implementation considerations of each one. I want to start with client access devices. What else do I need to consider based on kind of our assessment methodology when planning these VDI deployments? Give me kind of a hypothetical customer deployment here.
Yeah, sure. So I think an important consideration when we're looking at deploying client access devices is we start with the basics. We want to check the firmware and the embedded OS for thin client devices. And when you're using repurposed PCs, you want a consistent operating system build with the latest patches, service packs. And for both types of devices, you want the latest supported VDM client build. Another very important consideration is end user training. You want to make sure the end users are prepared for accessing VDI and the possibility of using different means of accessing, such as through the web or the standard login using the VDM client, et cetera. Very important.
Gotcha. So those devices connect through an access infrastructure of sorts, and security is a huge consideration for me. I'm going to suppose that I'm a customer here for a moment. You know, I also need workers to be able to connect from home to be more productive or during snow days or work outages. What do I do to handle those considerations, John?
Well, when you're trying to secure VDI connectivity, the first thing you want to consider is leveraging SSL encryption between the VDM security server and the end device. So in the scenario of accessing over the internet, you have a secure tunnel between the VDM server and securing your client traffic. You also want to make sure your VDM security server is secure in the DMZ. You should use a hardened Windows OS build to ensure that the base OS is protected. There's no need to include the server in the domain, so you want to make sure you lock it down. In some cases, customers are leveraging a VPN tunnel. So in this scenario, you want to install the VPN client on the end device and establish the tunnel first, and then you can connect in the same way that you would in a scenario without the VPN client. For example, you're just connecting in using the VDM client or web access.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So from what I understand, the connection broker is kind of like the traffic cop, if you will. So let's say I have hypothetically 1,000 users. So how do I configure Virtual Desktop Manager, that connection broker, to handle those 1,000 users, number one? And let's say I have plans to kind of scale up to an eventual 3,000 users. What are some of the things I should plan on there, John?
I think the primary consideration is that you'll be able to scale using the VDM servers by simply adding more VDM servers. The entire VDM server architecture is very, very scalable. And we have two types of servers. We have VDM connection servers, which are typically inside the firewall. They're on the secure network. And we have VDM security servers that are on the outside, usually on the perimeter, living inside the DMZ. So when you're planning a scalable VDI deployment, you want to make sure you can add additional VDM servers to accommodate the load. Since these are typically virtual machines, adding more VDM servers doesn't automatically translate into more cost. The horsepower at the virtual infrastructure layer is really the major determining factor here. So it's important if you're planning and implementing a large-scale VDI deployment, you want to try to use load testing as a means of sizing the VDM server deployment. This way you know that your VDM architecture layer can accommodate the load as it scales upwards, and this way, you're not going to run into a capacity issue down the road.
That makes a ton of sense, but that brings up another great question, which is this notion of sizing. So when I move kind of down the layers, and now I'm at the host layer, and the hosts are obviously going to house my virtual desktop sessions while they're operating and running, tell me about some kind of rules of thumb in terms of user density and how you usually do that sizing exercise, John.
Yeah, so I try to be very conservative before I complete user and application load testing. So I like to use a range of 6 to 9 virtual machines per ESX server core when I'm using the latest hardware. We have customers who are running as many as 20 virtual machines per core in situations where there's low CPU demand at the VDI virtual machine. Another important consideration is RAM. You want to make sure you provision enough RAM to avoid deferring memory management to the VDI virtual machine guest OS. This could lead to swapping within the virtual machine, which could really harm performance. So you want to provision slightly more RAM to the virtual machine than you think you would need to accommodate short bursts of increased demand, you know, your peak workloads. Important consideration here is disk storage. Since we keep the VM swap file on a VMFS volume or a shared data store, you don't want to lose sight of this requirement, this disk space requirement, which could grow pretty high with 9 or more virtual machines per core.
Well, you hit on a great point, which is this notion of the storage stack, and at a very high level, because I know there are, you know, a ton of different storage fabrics that can be utilized, but in terms of my storage, LUN sizing, the input-output, you know, of my hypothetical 1,000 users, let's say they all came in the morning and hit at the database, how do I set up my storage to ensure that those kind of considerations are handled, John?
Storage is a key consideration for VDI, because if you're using persistent virtual machines, those virtual machines need persistent storage. You can reduce the disk space footprint considerably using ThinApp application virtualization because you can access most, if not all, of your applications from a shared location, keeping the needless duplication of bits out of the virtual machine's disk. You can also leverage data deduplication technology to further reduce that footprint, though it's important to architect the storage properly since a shortfall in disk caching could result in very poor performance. When I'm implementing VDI, I want highly available storage capable of handling small block random I.O. for as low cost as is possible. I like iSCSI and NFS-based storage solutions for this exact purpose. The ROI virtual desktop infrastructure can be impacted very severely by disk storage costs, so it's important to find the right balance of cost and performance. And I really can't say enough about NFS and iSCSI. NFS in particular is proving to be very popular in our end customer deployment.
Interesting. So there's a ton of different, you know, operating system considerations I would suspect that need to be taken into account, John. And just as I know that there are a ton of different operating systems out there. What should I consider, you know, with my 100-user VDI deployment when it comes to operating systems?
The first consideration is end-user experience. What are they comfortable with today? Next, and perhaps very key in the overall picture, is to use a desktop OS build specifically intended for a virtual machine. Or in other words, try to avoid using a P2V conversion approach. The reason is that you might find your VDI VMs laden with CPU-hungry services or phantom device drivers that impact the overall consolidation and performance. Virtual machines that use a slimmed-down OS build can boot in 5 seconds compared to 90-second boot times for the average virtual machine. Another tangible benefit to the slimmed-down operating system approach is disk footprint. Keep it small to keep disk space demands under control.
So I want to go into the application layer next, because that's what, you know, my end users actually use. That's the workspace that I'm providing for them, right? It's the host of applications that they need to use to do their job. So, you know, you talked about application virtualization, and it's been a pretty consistent theme throughout this podcast series. So how do I install apps, number one? And number two, exactly what's happening when I virtualize an application, John?
When you virtualize an application, you create an association between the user and the application, as opposed to a three-way serial association of application to OS and OS to user. This leads to a more dynamic approach to provisioning applications to users based on Active Directory security groups instead of VM template. When using VMware ThinApp, I can dramatically reduce the disk footprint from applications. So, for example, the VMware IT standard installation of Microsoft Office 2007 uses more than 700 megabytes of storage. That's 70 gigabytes for 1,000 users of pure duplication, totally unnecessary when using ThinApp. ThinApp allows me to link virtualized applications without packaging them together, so I can virtualize and centralize applications without the back-end management nightmare. This makes a strategy like virtualizing Microsoft Office a reality today.
That's awesome stuff. That's awesome. So will you join us next week, John, to walk us through some of the management and user experience and kind of the tuning aspects that develop, you know, from the planning and implementation process?
Well, maybe.
Pretty pleased.
All right, I'll be here.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. And thanks, everyone out there. I wanted to thank you all for listening to this VMware VDI podcast. And as always, for more information, be sure to check out www.vmware.com/go/desktop, where we have a host of sizing and scaling white papers, deployment guides, total cost of ownership calculators, and, of course, evaluation software. From sunny Palo Alto, California, thanks from VMware.